Amen. Well, let's see. I think I'm going to pray with you and then let you be seated. Will that be all right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll let you be seated. Father, I want to thank you again for this good day. I want to thank you, Father, for the privilege we've had to try to communicate with you. And Lord, for you to communicate with us through your word and through your spirit. I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity of being here.
Yes, sir.
And Lord, for anything that you've done, we give you all the praise and the glory. And Father, we want to put guards around our heart and our mind. Lest our Father God, we should ever try to usurp your glory.
Yes.
I pray, Father, you'd bless Lord Brother Kurtman tonight as he comes, anoint him and use him. I pray for Pastor that you'd guide him and lead him. And Father, I want to pray for those that are hurting and those that are, Lord, in deep grief tonight. You'd remember them. And Father, we want to thank you again for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Father, for you sending him and making him a sacrifice that you are pleased with. I pray, Father, that you'd help us now tonight. Let us say a few things that be a blessing, be a help. We'll honor you in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated, if you will. I want to express my thanks to the ladies. I hadn't done this already, but it should have been done. But I tell you, ladies have done such a tremendous job of feeding us. Amen. And you know, I really have gotten used to eating. And so I'd hate to try to do without it. Amen. So I appreciate all you've done. And, when you get my age, whatever that is, you just have so many things you want to say to people.
Yes.
I mean, you just have tons of things you like to say. And it don't seem like you got time to say it all. But I will say this. Now listen to me carefully. I will say this. Recently, I was involved with somebody that had been saved for a long, long time. And they thought they were going to die. And they went into great anxiety. But they didn't die, but they thought they were. And I've known this person a long time. And their religion has been one of activity. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Their religion has been, I mean, their joy of being a Christian has been do in the church. But now then, they came down to what they thought they were going to die, and they entered into this anxiety. You know why? Because they hadn't practiced Jesus being real to them daily. You better listen to this old boy.
Yep.
I'm telling you, if you want him to be real to you when you're leaving out, you better make sure he's real to you day by day.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Mark chapter number 9. I think that's right tonight. Mark chapter number 9. Yeah, I'm going to read Mark 9 tonight. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to preach on before we start tonight. But I'm going to read the passage and then we're going to just move right on into it. I want to preach tonight on the intimidation of our spiritual enemy. The intimidation of our spiritual enemy, or subtitle, the supreme bully.
Yeah,
amen. And that's exactly what he is. Now I'm going to tell you my purpose tonight is this. Now, you never know who you're going to touch. You never know who's going to hear. You never know who's going to get it. But I'll tell you, I'm meeting Christians all the time that, you know, they don't take the Christianity serious, not serious. And they live loose, they live carnal, and they don't realize what a stronghold that Satan is developing in their life. And he doesn't have intentions of just trying to manipulate you a little. I said last night, and I'll say it again. His desire is to absolutely devour you and to ruin you.
That's right.
And you know, you look out yonder in the world and you see people that are not saved and you see them what seem like having a good time. You know, like the psalmist said, you know, I fretted, you know, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Yeah.
You see all that. But you don't see the end. That's like the billboards you see that's advertising sin and makes it look so appealing, but you never see the end of it. And so I want to show you tonight, by the help of the Lord, I want to give you a little bit on showing you what Satan is really, really like. Now, remember what I said. The intimidation of our spiritual enemy or the supreme bully. Now, let's begin a reading in Mark chapter 9, and we'll start with verses 14, and I'll read down, I'll read several verses. Mark chapter number 9, verse 14. And when he saw his disciples, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. I want to pause. Now, I want you to notice something. That there's Satan has got a stronghold here, and there's someone that wants to be delivered, and Jesus brings up faith. You better look at that. Jesus brings up faith in the issue. Verse number 20. And the Bible says, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Are you looking at that? This situation, this demonic situation, is happening when he was a child. Now, if you get the idea that this only happens when people are out yonder, you know, in the depths of sin and in degradation, it's going to happen. No, this happened to a child. Now, I don't know what the environment was around here when this happened, but verse 22. And oftentimes, it had cast him in the fire and in the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now watch what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, if thou canst, what's the word?
Believe.
All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. Now, what we're reading here, it is definitely a demon-possessed situation. But what you need to remember is this. Every demon acts like his leader. Every demon will act like his leader. See, this demon here and this child, he didn't do any less or any more than Satan would have done if Satan had been in the child himself. So where there's a demon-possessed situation, he will be acting and he will be performing, neighbor, just like Satan himself was in the child. Now, with that in mind, here's what you see. I want you to see how, neighbor, this demon treated this child. How did the devil really work? Well, look if you would please, and well, let's see. Let's go back and try to pick up here. Look at verse number 20. So how is it that this demon is really treating this lad? Well, there are actually two accounts of this, and I'll probably merge them all. In Matthew 17, it's the same account. Now listen to what the Bible said. The Bible called the boy in Matthew 17 a lunatic. And the word lunatic means he's moonstruck or he's crazy. So what's happening here, the devil is driving this child crazy. Now, Lord, please help me to get this across. What I'm trying to say tonight is this. You play around with Satan and you do not submit your life to Christ, then you are putting yourself in the same position to have the enemy of our soul to bully your life the rest of your life. So notice now, in Matthew 17, it calls him a bully, but it said he was sore vexed. And that means he was just badly, grievously, and miserably never tortured. And see, Satan loves to do that. He likes to torture men and women. He likes to torment your mind, torment your spirit. And that's what he's doing this child. And notice also the Bible said in Matthew, I'm getting the passages together, run together. But in Matthew, the Bible says that this demon oftentimes and frequently caused him to fall into the fire and into the water. And I think it said the same here. But now notice, if you would please, in this passage, it said, verse number 20, that the Bible said that this evil spirit toward him. That means, neighbor, get the idea. If I understand correctly, the Bible says he's tearing him. That means he's actually trying to pull the child apart. I mean, he's trying to separate his body parts. So what I'm trying to show you is this. We're not talking about, you know, a nice little guy up there that he just wants to maybe keep us from going to heaven. No, it's more than that. He don't want to just keep him going to heaven. He wants to take your life and rip your life apart. And so notice something else now in this passage. The Bible said, and the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. You hear what that said? You're saying to Brother Wells, what does that mean? Well, yeah, have you ever seen anybody foam at the mouth? You probably never have. You probably see me if I'm preaching, my mouth is dry. Amen. But I was, now, I don't, Lord, I don't want to digress for here, but I was dealing with a demon possessed boy not too many years ago. And one of the characteristics that we found in that boy was he foamed. I mean, he had foam coming out of his mouth. He spit gobs of foam out of his mouth, and you wouldn't believe it. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight is this. This is how Satan is. And look on, if you would please, in verse number, also here in this passage, the Bible said, if I can find it, the Bible said that he gnashed with his teeth. In other words, he is making him, his teeth grind away. And the Bible said not only that, but he is making him pine away. He is shriveling up. He is withering and drying away. And so, now, I know that's kind of gruesome stuff, but what I'm trying to get you to see is this. This is how Satan is. He's not a nice guy. He's not neighbor somebody that's just a nice neighbor that's not going to heaven. He is somebody that wants to, I mean, rip your life apart, neighbor, to the very core. Now let me remind you of one more. And I'll not read the passage, but y'all remember, do you remember the passage about the Gadarene maniac? It's mentioned several places. Well, the Bible said he's dwelling in the tombs. Do you know anybody in their right mind that neighbor would like to make their dwelling in a graveyard? I don't know anybody. But see, Satan is driving him to live in a graveyard. But not only that, the Bible said nobody could tame him. And the Bible said in the night, he's in the mountains screaming. I mean, and crying loud. And this is how Satan is treating him. And he's cutting himself with stones. And he wears no clothes. And this is how Satan operates to those he gets control of. Then I remind you, one more, this is gentle. But, well, not really gentle, but you remember the woman that Jesus healed? You remember her? It was bent over. And the Bible said she was bowed together. Now, Jesus said that she had a spirit of infirmity. That's what's causing that. Don't you get this? The Bible said she was bowed together. And I looked that up, and it means to stoop all together. Now, what I get is, it means this, that here's an upright lady, and neighbor, Satan wants to just warp her life, and he bends her completely together. Now, I've never seen anything like that myself, but that's what the Bible said he did. Right. Now, are you getting my picture here now? It might be hard to believe, but I'm trying to show you, Satan is not a toy. I'm telling you, I like the emphasis that Brother Kirkman said the other night. This is serious stuff. Right. And it is serious. We cannot take him lightly in these hours. So now I want to remind you of a couple more things, and then we're going to try to get out of the way quickly as again. So let's talk about number one, the avenues of which Satan wants to intimidate people. Whether they're saved or they're not saved, he wants to intimidate us. So what avenues? Here's what I found. This is not from a book. This is what I saw. The Bible said in Hebrew that let Satan get in a what? Remember that? Let Satan get an advantage on you. Satan is after an advantage. He wants to study my life, look at my life, find a place in my life where Satan can get an advantage against me and manipulate and motivate my life. And so let me just say this, and I hope I got this right, but it's the best I can do anyway. The Bible said that he's seeking whom he may devour. Don't forget that. Satan is not trying to trip you up. He's not just trying to make you have a bad day. He's trying to devour you is what his interest is. Now, I want to remind you there are three avenues. Number one, here's the avenue I see that Satan uses neighbor to intimidate God's people. Number one, well, not just God's people, but it's avenue of possession. Now, you know what I'm saying? There is a reality of possession. Look, now, I know this may not sound good, but what little I saw on that Super Bowl halftime show, I came in from my motel where I was, and I clicked it on and just saw a little bit of it, and we cut it off immediately. Nobody could perform, neighbor, and do the things that crowd was doing without having demonic activity behind them. Nobody could do that. And so here's what I'm saying. The Bible said, and talked about several phrases. The Bible says, a man with an unclean spirit. Talked about, he's crying and cutting himself. That is Mark 5. And so what does the word possess mean? It means to be held and to be occupied. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Have you ever seen anybody that is held by the powers of hell? They are controlled. They're occupied. I got a call from a friend on yesterday. I texted him, and he called me, and so I called him back, and he said I want you to pray for my boy. My boy's like 37, and he said it's in jail. And he said, preacher, he said, I called him, or he called me, and he said, I hate you. I hate my mama. I hate everything about you. I don't want to ever see you again. I said, what is this? He said, pastor, it's the demons of hell through the medium of drugs that have possessed this boy. I'm telling you, brother, see, possession is reality. And I want to say this. I believe with all of my heart. I believe with all my soul. Matter of fact, Brother Troy, how long have you been a missionary? 30 years. I tell you, I used to hear this, preacher. Years ago when I first started preaching, and I would hear this. Well, you know, over across the waters where our missionaries are, there are demon possession and demonism is running rampant. I'm telling you, it's not over yonder now, buddy. It's not over yonder. It's in this soil right here, in this land right now. Amen. And so, see, possession is reality. And, but neighbor, he uses this medium, neighbor, to intimidate. Matter of fact, listen to me a moment. If you saw that Gadarene maniac, if you saw that young lad that we talked about a while ago, if you saw him, neighbor, and looked at him, would you say, my, somebody has got a hold of that child. Somebody has possessed that child. There's something that's really controlling him. Yeah. And to see, Satan wants to do that. But let me move on to the Father. So here's what the apostle, well, here's what Peter said at Cornelius' house. He talked about those that are oppressed by the devil. Now, the word oppressed means to exercise dominion against. In other words, neighbor, if somebody's oppressed by Satan, they may not be possessed, but they are controlled and they're dominated. Are y'all listening to that? Hey, I'm telling you, I've seen not as much as other people have seen, but I've seen some of that right in the house of God. I've seen men and women in the house of God that were so controlled. I mean, they would take service over if you let them. Amen. And so, here's what I'm trying to say. So the medium of intimidation, Libra, is oppression. It's exercising dominion. Now, I want you to hold your, well, you don't have to hold your place here, but I do want you to turn. I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians 10. And, I want to do my best to get, not be long here, but help us, Lord. And I want to maybe look at this thing here. But I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians. And I want you to be there in a hurry now. 2 Corinthians 10. I want you to look at this passage now. And I want you to see something about oppression. 2 Corinthians 10. Are you there? Please be there. Don't let me read this by myself. Look at verse number 3. Start with verse number 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He said, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. What for? What are they good for? Now watch it now. Here's how Satan's going to be oppressing. Number one, to pull down stronghold. Well, if there's no stronghold there, what's the purpose of pulling it down? Yeah. Satan is building strongholds in people's lives. Right. What is a stronghold? That is an advantage point. Are you listening now? You have watched of this stuff to know. If there are two men that are boxing, if there's a boxing match here, and one of them, neighbor, gets a little nick on his eyebrow, that other boxer, he forgets everything else about what he's doing. He's going after that nick. Amen. And so that becomes a stronghold, neighbor, for that boy, because that's where the enemy is going to attack him. See, what Satan wants to do is find one little area in your life that he can attach himself to and start manipulating and motivating your life. It's called a stronghold. But now listen, I know this sounds bad, but don't forget what this passage said. It said the weapons of our Lord are able to pull down these strongholds. Amen. So look on, if you would, and see what it said. Verse number 5. And the Bible says, and casting down imagination. In other words, Satan's going to be using imaginations to oppress us. Now, Brother Wells, I don't have a good imagination. Can I say this? I have never preached in a Baptist church anywhere in my life that wasn't blessed with imagination. Amen. That's right. But now, let me carefully now. Now, what the word imaginations mean, that one of the definitions means a computation. And that's like a computer language. And if you're going to, maybe, matter of fact, you could even put it like, of a gun safe. You've got a gun safe. Well, the computation is the combination. And so, if you know the combination, you can get in. If you don't know it, you can't get in. But see, you can just miss one digit, and you're not going to get in. Right. You listen to that? Now, so let me give an illustration here. You remember in John, is it John 5, John 9? The disciples are coming in, and they see this guy that's blind. Remember that? And here's what they said. They said, Lord, they said, did this man sin or his parents that he's born blind? See what they're doing? They're using their imagination to figure out why this man is born blind. And Jesus said, neither one. You say, now, Brother Wills, I don't have, oh yes you do. Yes you do. You got, now I don't know, yeah, I know you do, even young people. You got imagination. They don't like me. They don't have nothing to do with me. Oh no, they don't shake my hand. I know that they, you know, they go out, they didn't even speak to me today. Did you ever think their head might have been a busting and they didn't want to fool with you? Amen. So I'm saying, see, Satan uses imaginations on us. Yeah, I ain't got time to tell you that story. Oh, maybe I'll tell it to you another time. But look, if you would please, at verse number 5 again. So, yeah, the Bible said there's imagination. And then it said every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, yeah, look what it said now. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Question, have you ever doubted your salvation? All right? So what is doubting your salvation? If you've been born again, really born again, what is doubting your salvation? It's the enemy trying to exalt himself above what you already know. See, he's exalting yourself above the knowledge of God. He's trying to take, neighbor, some way you feel, some emotion you have, and then basically telling you, hey, it really ain't that way. And he's denying what God has already said. Amen. Amen. And Satan does that. So that's one of his ways of oppressing. That's one of his ways of intimidating. But look on now. Then he said this now. It said, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Satan wants to operate in our thought life in order, neighbor, to intimidate us. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. So let me move on. Let me give you one more. So not only does Satan want to use possession and oppression, but he wants to use obsession as well. I don't know. I don't hardly know if I know the difference in all this, but I will give you a couple of things right quickly now. So how does Satan want to vex us? Remember what the Bible said about Lot? Bible says, and he delivered just Lot, neighbor, that vexed his righteous. So you remember that? Well, so what happened is, see, Lot, though he's a righteous man, he is being oppressed by Satan.
Sure.
Why? Well, it's really of his own accord, I know, because he's made the choice to go there. Matter of fact, sometimes, neighbor, we get messed because of our own choice, and Satan uses those choices to really work against us. So here's what happened here. So Lot was vexed, which means, neighbor, he is harassed. Now, does Satan ever harass you? Well, probably not you, but he does me. Amen. So Satan is a master at harassing. Would you call that a bully? Yeah, you'd call that a bully. So here's some things I saw in my study. Here's how he does that. Neighbor, he will harass us by worry. Anybody ever worried? Oh, nobody. I've never worried, Brother Wells. And I bet you hadn't lied either, right? Amen. And so, the worry, he'll harass us with worry. And I used to have a military man that worked with me, and he didn't work for me, he worked with me. And here's what he said. He said, if I can't change it, I don't worry about it. That's what he said. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but here's what I know. I have seen things out there. When I was preaching, I've seen somebody that I thought would listen and then fold their arms. And I'm worrying. Now what's going on now? Am I headed to another church battle? Amen. And so worry. And so you say, is there any illustration? Yeah. What about Martha? Did Martha worry? She said, Lord, if you'd have been here. See, and when you start worrying, you actually start distrusting the Lord. That's really true. And so, by fretting, the psalmist said he's fretting because of evildoers. And if you fret something, and you know, just let it, that word fret means to glow or to get warm about. You ever got warm about anything? Amen. And then complaining. Anybody ever complained? Well, I'm telling you. And then there's those imaginations I'm talking about all ago and so on. Now, I want to move on and I want to take you somewhere right quickly now. And I'm going to be done out of the way, I think. Amen. So last night I talked about the nature of the enemy. Deception, lying, binding, blinding, and just tons of things you can talk about. But now here's what, let me give you, and I'll be done. So let's talk about for a moment analyzing Satan's intimidation. Analyzing Satan's intimidation. Now, let's see, Lord. Yeah, all right, here's what I'll read. Now, whether you like this verse or not, it's beside the point. The Bible said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here's what I want to tell you. Number one, Satan is not invincible. I want you to hear that. Satan is not invincible. I know he's a powerful foe. He's a mighty foe, but Satan is not invincible. Understand that. See, he is not invincible, and we can prove that from the Word of God. So, now, let me show you this now. So, from the verse I read, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, the word bind. Now, I don't know where I tried to find out where I got this definition, but I couldn't find out where I got it. But the word bind, now listen to me now, the word bind carries the idea, let me make sure I'm saying it right. The word bind carries the idea of putting under and the obligation of the law. Now, let's see if that's true. All right. Anybody in here ever been a policeman? All right. So when a policeman binds a prisoner, he arrests somebody and he puts them in handcuffs. Has he bound them under the name of the law? He has put him under the obligation of the law is what he's done. And so whatever this means here, neighbor, whatever the binding means, it means that you're not strong arming the power of hell. That's not it. But you're bringing the powers of hell under the obligation of the law of God. Amen. Amen. So I want to say now you say, can that be done? Oh yeah, Jesus did it. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 2, the Bible says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and he bound him 1,000 years. Now, that's out during the future, but wait a minute now. So I said this last night. You remember me talking about the temptation in the wilderness last night? Remember that? Well, did the Lord Jesus bind him with the word? Yes. He didn't use the word bind, but did he not disarm Satan?
Right.
He disarmed his powers, Hebrew, in that passage.
Right.
And he did it with the word of God. Yes, he did.
Amen.
So I want to move on and say this now. So let me give you another statement here. So Satan, Hebrew, is not invincible. He can be bound. Satan is not invincible. He can be resisted.
Amen.
Y'all hearing that now?
Amen.
Satan can be resisted.
Amen.
Now, I don't know. Now, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say that right now. I'll say it later. So how is it that neighbor Satan can be resisted? The word resist has the idea of standing against, opposing somebody. In other words, somebody's trying to break in your house. And you got a 9mm, 357 or assault rifle, whatever you got. Somebody's trying to break in. Are you going to let them just come in? Are you going to let them kick the door in and say, well, I couldn't do nothing about it? You're not going to do that, are you?
No.
Huh? I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not a wimp. I just lost the other part of me. Amen. It went out the window somewhere. But here's what I'm trying to say. You're going to oppose that enemy.
Right.
You're not going to let that enemy come in and take what is yours.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
My peace God gave me. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, peace I leave you, my peace I've given you. He gave me my peace. Why should I allow somebody come in and rob me of the peace God's given
Amen.
Me? Amen.
Amen.
And so, Satan can be resisted. How? How is it that Satan is resisted? Well, matter of fact, it'd be good if you turn there. Turn to 1 Peter right quickly, please. Turn to 1 Peter quickly. And the 1 Peter, if you would, and chapter number 5. And this is that verse on, near the verse, which said, neighbor, that be sober, be vigilant. You know, your adversary, the devil, thus and so. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
Grunt for me.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I want you to look at verse number 9. I'm not wanting you to look at verse number 8. We know what verse number 8 is about. But I want you to look at verse number 9. Now, look what he said now. He said, you're talking about the devil, verse number 8. And he said, whom Satan resists steadfast in the faith. Now, now, I want you to listen to me now. I'm not trying to be ugly or mean. Amen. But now listen to what I'm trying to tell you. So you're under attack of Satan. Satan is really bombarding your life. So you're going to go and get in prayer, and you're going to have a teary time. You're going to bawl your eyes out. You're going to squall and cry. You're waiting for chill bumps to run up and down your spine. You're waiting to maybe you get so psyched up that you can run around the building about 25 times and not even be out of breath. And Satan won't go anywhere. Do you know why? Because it's not, neighbor, through emotions. It's not through physical excitement that you resist the devil. Well, look what it said. It said, whom resist steadfast in what? In the faith. See? And that, listen to me. Now, just say, you remember when I read that passage a while ago, I pointed out faith. I point, Jesus is dealing with the devil, and he's talking about faith. So here again, he's talking about the same thing through Peter, and he said, you're to resist him through faith. And don't do it. Well, I believe I'll resist you, Satan, in the name. Now, I'm not saying to say those words, but I'm resisting you.
Well, I'm trying to resist you. I'm resisting you. Well, I'm trying to resist.
No. That ain't working.
Right.
See, that's a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Right.
what the book said. So now let me say another word to you. So how is it that we really resist him? Number one, you do it by faith. Number two, you do it by submission. Why? You mean I resist him by submission? Absolutely. The Bible said, submit yourself therefore to God. Why? Why is submission so important? I'm not talking about being submissive to Satan. That's not what we're talking about. But why is submission so important? Here's why. The Bible said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, here's my point. Submission puts you in a position where one stronger than you can insert his strength in the equation. I'm telling you, brother, submission, you will never be able to overcome the powers of hell. Neighbor, when you got a lump of pride in your heart and you're not going to submit to God. Right. It's absolutely impossible to overcome Satan when you're not submitting to the Lord. Right. Amen. And so submission and by prayer. Yeah, the Bible said, Jesus said, Peter, Satan's desired to have you, that he may see if you're weak, but what to do for you? I prayed for you. Amen. And then by scripture. Now, let me move on and see what else the Lord was going to say. It ain't going to be much. Amen. So, he was defeated by Christ. Yes. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said, for this cause the Son of God was manifested that he might, you remember the word? Might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
You say, Brother Wells, that meant way out yonder. Oh, no, it didn't. It did not mean all that. You look at your own life. Look at your own life. When you got born again, did God not destroy a great hunk of Satan's work? Yeah, he destroyed the work of Satan in your life when you got born again. Now then, since you're born again, he wants to somehow work back in and neighbor and get a little work going in your own heart and life. Amen. And so the Bible said, neighbor taught us that he's defeated. Listen to me now. I covered that last night. He's been spoiled. And he's been, listen to what the Bible said. Listen to this verse. And that Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly.
Amen.
Did y'all hear what God said? He told neighbor through Paul, though church Roman, he said, God is going to bruise Satan's head shortly under your feet.
Amen.
You say, Brother Wills, that's where it's right. Oh, no. No, it was to those people in Rome. It was the ones Paul was writing to in Rome.
Amen.
Do you understand that, neighbor, somehow or another, if God can, look here, God is no respecter of person. If God can cause that church in Rome, neighbor, to crush Satan, and what, it's not the church that's doing it, but he said he would crush it under their feet.
Right. Amen.
Now, let me emphasize that again. It said, God said this now, and God, the God of peace, shall bruise Satan under your feet.
Amen.
It is not my power. I don't have any power.
Amen.
You stack me up against Satan and I'm a goner.
Yep.
I'm a goner. Amen. But the one I represent ain't a goner. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And see, the church really has more power than she realized she has. But the problem is, she wants to live her worldly life, her carnal life, without submitting to God. And then they want all this power God will give them. They want a beady hen philosophy without the holiness of God.
Right.
Was that a good phrase? I'm not sure it was. Amen.
Yes, sir.
See, but what I'm saying, now I tell you, I really believe that God's people are living a subnormal life to what they could have.
Yes, sir.
Now, I believe that with all my heart. I really do. I believe, neighbor, that we could have a lot more victory than what we do have, neighbor, if we'd learn something about the Lord. Now, I remind you this now. Satan has already been judged. You know that, don't you? The Bible said in John 16:11, the prince of this world is judged. He has already been judged by the power of God. He is like a priest. He is like, neighbor, somebody running around, neighbor that's on death row, knows he's going to die, and neighbor, and he's got the death sentence on him, but he's still free. But he's got a death sentence on him. And now, let me say a couple of things, just believers, and I'll be done here in a second. He cannot touch the believer. Do you believe that? Do you believe what I'm telling you? Satan cannot touch a believer without the permission of God.
That's right.
Is that not what happened in Job's case?
Yep.
See, the Bible, you know, he said, well, you know, you got him hedged in, God. But let me remind you this. You know, it wasn't Satan that brought up Job. It was God that brought up Job.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so he said, if you consider my servant, yeah, but you got him hedged in. Well, God didn't deny that.
Right.
He did not deny that. He did have him hedged in. Can I remind you this? God still is no respecter of person.
Amen.
He had Job hedged in, he's got me hedged in. Amen. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you hear that?
Amen.
Amen. And so, Satan, neighbor, he cannot touch one of God's children. And he's lost his authority over every born-again believer. Amen. He cannot penetrate the whole armor of God. He can be overcome. Do you hear what I'm telling you tonight?
Yes, sir.
Satan can be overcome. Listen to me a moment. How many of you here, don't raise a hand, but how many of you here sometimes feel like that you're a soccer ball and you're being kicked all over the field by the power of hell? You ever felt that way? You don't have to be that way. Because God's made it clear in this Bible that you can overcome. Listen, I quote the verse last night. And they overcame him. That's talking about Satan. They overcame him by the power of the, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of testimony, and they loved not the life unto death.
Amen. Amen.
I'm gonna tell what most of our problem is. What most of our problem is, we'd like to overcome Satan, but we don't. We love ourselves too much. That's true. We love ourselves because the Bible said we're to love not our life unto the death. You know, like somebody said that Brother Harold Sandler said years ago. I think it was him that said it. Somebody threatened him and he said, you can't threaten me with death. No, he said, you can't threaten me with heaven. Amen. That means he's not loving his life unto death.
Right.
Look here. When you fall in love with Jesus, you love his life more than you love your life. I'm telling you, the power of hell are losing a big grip on you when you get that point in your life. Amen. So let me close them saying, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Amen. The Bible taught us very clearly, he has no power able to reclaim the souls that have been born again. Now I want to say a word to you. Any advantage Satan has over your life as a Christian, any advantage Satan has over your life as a Christian, you gave it to him. You gave it to him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you a Bible verse. I don't know that I got all the understanding of how to apply this. Listen to me. Ecclesiastes 10:8 said this. Put that down in your mind. Ecclesiastes 10:8. He that breaketh the hedge, a serpent will bite him.
Yep.
Live on the shelter of godliness and holiness. And neighbor, you have a great advantage.
Yes, sir.
But you break the hedge, and I promise you a serpent will bite you.
Yes, sir.
I'm thinking right now of a young person that came up under my church, under my preaching. Matter of fact, they never knew anything but my preaching. That's all they ever knew. Straight, hard, you know, you're too mean, you're too, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, you've heard that. But the environment they were brought up under was as godly as it could be. But they broke the hedge.
Yep.
They broke the hedge. Right now, they've been married three times. They got three children, all by a different mate. They've been arrested for drugs. Their children have been taken away from them because of drugs. Right now, that person has cancer. A neighbor, and they're on the way out. Do you know why? They broke the hedge. You broke the hedge. I'm going to tell you something. You may not agree with what I'm about to tell you. But for you sitting in these meetings that I've been giving you these nights, you sitting here and hearing what God's let me tell you, makes you 1,000 times more responsible.
Yes, sir.
Than what you were.
Yep.
When you disregard what God's telling you about overcoming your enemy, you disregard it to live your own life the way you want to live,
right,
you're headed for some deep deep problems in your life. Satan is the big bully. He used to, he won't bully me around. Oh yeah. I've seen him. I've seen him neighbor at waitresses. I've seen him at the convenience stores with their teeth rotted out.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Well, what's happening thing? They didn't get that by not exactly going to the dentist. They got that by the meth they were using.
Right.
You're
right. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Satan is a supreme bully.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't listen to what God has to say, you're going to end up being bullied, bullied, bullied by the powers of hell the rest of your days.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for your precious word. Pray, Lord, you use it for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to preach all that long. Amen. Yes.